Not too long ago, I shared in my Instagram stories that Instagram isn't my most lucrative platform as a creator, not even by a long shot. If I'm just creating and posting content for myself across different platforms, honestly, it doesn't even crack top three in terms of my earnings. While I know there are a lot of creators that earn five, six, and even seven figures thanks to Instagram, that's just not my story. And it's not the story of a lot of creators I know. Creator after creator after creator that I've spoken to has complained about quote unquote playing the game, especially on IG. Yet at the same time, ignoring all the other platforms that are available for creators. So you likely read the title of this episode and thought to yourself, so I gotta be everywhere? And I promise you, that is absolutely not what I'm saying. Because everything isn't for everyone. Let's think about this for a second, right? You got Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Amazon, Pinterest, Patreon, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, LinkedIn, podcasting, blogging, emailing. Like, seriously, there are only 24 hours in a day. No matter how you slice it, you're going to have to be selective. However, it should be done at least with some semblance of intentionality. During the Meridian Experience weekend in the opening panel, Mallory, who's on Emily Henderson's team as the social media manager, she stressed the importance of diversification of video content simply because all of the platforms right now are fighting for our attention. They want our content. They want the dollars of the brands that are pushing our content, and they want the ad clicks of the consumers that are viewing our content. Mallory also graced us with very, very simple words of advice. You can't do every single platform. Pick your main one and then repurpose on the other platforms. Simple, right? Instead, what I've seen, especially in the past year, our creators pushing and shoving their way through Instagram, hoping to get seen, all while abandoning their blogs, email lists, and all their other social accounts, and sacrificing their creative autonomy in the process. What made being a content creator exciting was the innovation, the originality, the audacity to be different, to actually create. Now, instead, what we have is, in the name of bonuses and badges, everyone's just producing more of the same in hopes of going viral. The way creators have stopped creating in the name of growing, this is what I call the Instagram effect. And in this episode, I'm going to get all into what that means, as well as hopefully ways to get out of that cycle, to diversify and the ways that we are showing up for our audience. So let's dive in. Are you ready for candid and caffeinated conversations about life and business as a designpreneur? Welcome to the Tea with Albie Knows. Still dedicated to changing the conversations and creating impact, the Tea with Albie Knows is an upgrade from the formerly known as podcast, The Design Influence. Here, we will think and talk through industry growing pains, equip ourselves with solution-based education, and take action when and where action is needed. I'm your hostess, Albie of Albie Knows, interior design content creator, multi-hyphenated designpreneur, and all-around idea machine. After years of trying to find my place, I've learned a lot of lessons along the way. And with the help of some industry peers, mentors, and friends, I'm always learning and I have lots to share. So if you're ready for some tea, pop in your earbuds, get cozy, and let's dive in. Hey guys, happy day, happy day. I am going to give you a heads up right now. This is probably going to be a long episode because I have been working on this since April, like writing down my thoughts and feelings on this topic, and I'm now finally getting the chance to record it and write it and put it out in the world And for context, in case you're not listening to this in real time, it's August. So this has been on my spirit for at least 4 months, likely longer because I only started writing it in April. And it was on my mind long before that. So we're just going to get right into it because I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. So first of all, let's talk about diversifying your presence as an influencer. I'll use myself as an example rather than try to really get into the nitty-gritty of what that means. I currently stretch myself across the following platforms: podcasting, hello, blogging, an email list for the Meridian Experience, even though Abby Knows has one too, Instagram, Amazon, Pinterest, and technically speaking, YouTube as well. And while they aren't officially considered content creation platforms, I consider them to be, which is why I include my affiliate platforms like Amazon, as well as LTK, Like to Know It, formerly RewardStyle. I don't use TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, Patreon, or any of the other places where creators can be hanging out. So how did I decide where I want to be and where I don't want to be? Here's how. I thought about what I have the bandwidth to handle, what platforms I've already mastered or close to mastering, where are the people that I want to talk to, where they're already hanging out, and how I can comfortably monetize the influence that I already have. Now, I'll also add that there are platforms that I've never even tried. I didn't need to try. I just knew they wouldn't be my cup of tea for one reason or another. And then there are other platforms that I tried for a little bit. I gave them a whirl and it just wasn't my jam. I'm not afraid to step away from something that isn't serving me or just doesn't feel right. I call this the joy of missing out. Highly recommended. So before I give you all of my insider tea, I want to just be very, very clear. I am currently in a season that is heavy on the inconsistency. Okay, so right now I am not at my content creation best. However, when the system works, it really, really works. So, you know, just do as I say, not as I do. So again, we're talking about diversifying content output and platform portfolio. So for the Meridian Experience, I have an email list and an Instagram account. That's it. Technically, this podcast, since, you know, it covers both, but we won't really count that one, right? The Meridian Experience Instagram account, that's where most people know and interact with me as Meridian. So I leverage that presence to drive as many people as possible to the email list. The email list, that's where I get actual conversion. And so that is how I delineate between the two platforms. Instagram is where I interact and connect and have conversations. And the email list is where I convert, AKA, that's where the money resides. So just in case, by the way, you're interested in the Meridian Experience and in joining us next year, go get on the list. So the Meridian Experience, you know, it's brand new. So I'm fine with having a much smaller social media footprint. My purpose is very clear: to grow at a very steady pace and solidify my presence in the industry as the Meridian Experience. In 3 to 5 years, this strategy could be completely different. As always, I reserve the right to change my mind. Now, Albie Knows has a much longer list when it comes to diversifying. So, you know, get comfortable. First of all, I have my blog. The Albie Knows blog has had many, many, many iterations since 2017, which is when it officially started, if you will. However, it's always been the primary hub for my web presence. I know it's going to sound cliche, and it's probably nothing new that you're hearing. However, I like to know that if all else fails, so long as I keep paying for my domain and my hosting, I will have a place of my own where I can run my mouth on the internet. I like having that autonomy and that ownership. It's always been a place for me to share, educate, and inspire. However, in the past 2 years, it's become exclusively that. That's been its only purpose, as opposed to before, where it was to support my e-design business. Secondly, I have my email list. Yes, Albinos does have an email list. And over the years, I have toiled around with using it in a bunch of different ways, mainly by trying to create content that's unique to the list. And right now, I've landed on it simply being a vehicle to increase my blog readership. I use an RSS feed. It's automated. I don't even touch it. So if I post something on the blog, people who are on the list get a weekly roundup. If I don't post, then the list gets nothing. Keep in mind, this list was originally set out to help me get more client work. Then it was for my subscription box. Then it was to sell my book. So really, this is the first time since the inception of Albinos that I'm not, quote unquote, selling anything to my email list. And I like it here. Next, we have Instagram. I have had a love-hate relationship with Instagram since joining it 10 years ago in 2012. I remember when it was brand new. So this was like 2010, I guess. I don't know. I resisted it so hard because I was like, why do I need to be on some app sharing random pictures all day? This was also during a time when my career goal wasn't interior design. It was to be a global product presentation specialist for Nike. And as far as I was concerned, Instagram wasn't going to get me there. When I finally succumbed, I struggled a lot. I was flailing, trying all the tips and tricks of all the experts, and I genuinely hated being on the app. After 5 years of an on-again, off-again, very toxic relationship, I went on a one-year hiatus, and then I came back. And then 2 years later, the Share the Mic Now initiative happened. And overnight, I literally went from maybe 1,700 followers to over 10,000. This completely changed my relationship with Instagram. And now it's my largest audience base. So I have now, eventually, with time, accepted that its main purpose in my social ecosystem is really just as a place for community and connections and not commerce. I have honestly seen very little success when it comes to converting on Instagram. And this isn't to say I haven't earned money because of Instagram. However, it's always been indirectly. So like I'm linking a blog post in my stories or through a brand partnership. And in which case it's because they're paying me for access to my audience. The money has not been coming from Instagram. Bonuses and badges, first of all, they're very young features. And what I have earned from them is pocket change. It gets transferred into my account and I almost never notice it. So all of the other platforms I use that could be monetized, they out-earned my Instagram account. So let that be a reminder that being popular does not equal being paid. Next on my list, we have Pinterest. And if I was having this conversation with you 5 years ago, I don't know that I would have put Pinterest on the list because its presence as a social platform is relatively new. It has since evolved, like a lot. And in the world of influencer marketing and content creation, it does make the list now. When I took my break in 2017, it was actually so I could prioritize and learn platforms like Pinterest and YouTube, which we'll get to later. So at that time, Pinterest was already driving traffic to my blog a little bit. And I wanted to optimize how I was using it so that I could grow my blog. Now, present day, I am extremely lazy about my Pinterest strategy. And yet, it is still the number one social source of my traffic to my website. And that's 77.8%. Instagram comes in at a whopping 20.59%. Now, keep in mind, my following, because you can't have a following on Pinterest, is about a quarter of my Instagram following. So Pinterest, right now, you know, they're placing more emphasis on content creation. And so it has also been serving me financially. in addition to just driving traffic to my blog, I can actually monetize directly on Pinterest as part of their creators program, which has bonuses and other opportunities to earn, including being able to add affiliate links. So personally, I have seen a much greater ROI on Pinterest than I have with like Instagram and their Reels bonuses. Next, YouTube. And just like Pinterest, the concept of YouTube as a social media platform, it feels relatively new. I got on YouTube during that 1 year hiatus, and at that time, admittedly, I did a much better job at staying consistent. The past 3 years though, especially the past 3 years, the struggle has been real. Do I still have the YouTube channel? Yes. Is it a present day priority? Nope. And I will say though, because just like Pinterest, it is searchable and it is evergreen, my channel still generates traffic to my blog and a little bit of affiliate income as well. It's not a ton of traffic or a ton of money, yet I felt like that was worth mentioning because I'm not even actively using the channel and it's still working for me. Then we have LinkedIn, which honestly, I'm not sure how that's classified, like if it's social media or not. What I do know that is it's a platform for professionals. So for me, it's a great asset for networking. So this is where a lot of times I'll start my search when I'm looking for brand partner contacts, as well as just brand and industry news. It's been a great asset for me just to keep educating myself in this space. However, it is not a place that I'm just hanging out for the sake of hanging out. Rounding out my list are my two affiliate platforms, Amazon first, and you're probably very confused by Amazon even being on this list. So let me just clarify. It is not, by more traditional parameters, a social media site. What it has done, however, with their influencers program is tap into the power of influencer marketing with creator features that allow consumers to follow you, to shop you, and the shopping can be like with lists and videos and photos and live streaming. Of all of the platforms I've named so far, this is where I make the most money in terms of using the platform itself to generate revenue. I create content for the platform, on the platform, so like all that shoppable media that I talked about, and then Amazon does what Amazon does. Whereas to earn on Instagram, the way that I earn on Amazon, I would have to exponentially increase my content creation output. And I just don't have it to give. So it's perfect. Amazon, I should say, has been perfect for this current season of productivity that I'm in, while it also being something that I can scale. And last, we have LTK, formerly RewardStyle, like to know it, however you know it. And just like Amazon, it's technically not a social media platform. However, it's definitely been a place where I can leverage my shopping prowess. It's a place where my audience can follow me. And, duh, I can earn affiliate marketing income. It's also the source of my product links, which are then used in my blog, on Pinterest, and on Instagram. So this feels like a good place for me to also note that everything works together, okay? So I've done my best to not just diversify my output, but to create my own content ecosystem. These platforms don't just work together to drive traffic from one to the next. In season one, episode two of the podcast, and I'll link that in the show notes, I talked about single tasking and thought purging for better productivity. So when I talked about single tasking, I also shared batching. And I promise my systems are a long way away from what they were when I recorded that episode. However, I still swear by batching. If I'm able to find the time to record, I will stretch that video out as far and wide as I can. So right now, we all know TikTok is all the rage. Oh my gosh, I love it. Now, I actually personally do not tick. I do not talk. However, its popularity still works to my advantage because it also means that other short-term 9x16 vertical video platforms in general are very popular. So that's your IG Reels, your YouTube Shorts, and your Pinterest Idea Pins. They are all capitalizing on this trend. And other platforms, so like affiliate marketing platforms, Amazon, LTK, they allow for video uploads. So video is also primed already for viewership and more likely to convert on those platforms as well. I realized that I was spending a ton of time burning mental calories to create one reel that would maybe get a couple thousand views and maybe make a couple of bucks through bonuses. Why would I waste all that video production effort for little ROI? And when I say production, I'm not saying like, oh, I was creating these epic videos. However, it still takes time. And yet again, all that effort for one little bitty video on Instagram Reels. Instead, that video for me could live on Pinterest as an idea pin, on Amazon, and on LTK as a shoppable video, in addition to the reel. So that stretches my work a lot further and also increases my earning potential. And for someone who uses TikTok and YouTube Shorts, that reach extends even further. In my big age, my only goal is to work smarter, not harder. And this is a sentiment that was also shared by Mallory.
You want to work smarter, not harder. So don't think of your Instagram audience as like this completely different thing that you have to come up with all new content, and then your blog all new content. I think each idea that you have can be translated from the blog to Pinterest to Facebook to TikTok to Instagram stories to Reels. I would really stretch out those content ideas because they can live in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways.
This did not come easy to me. Armed with this insight now, though, it eliminates any undue pressure for me to be in all the places and do all the things. My content creation ecosystem, that's what I call it, it's become a very safe cocoon. And this is especially important to me when I'm not creating and performing at a level that I'd like. I need to know that I can put things down when life starts lifing. And for the first time in years, that feels like the case right now. Today's episode is brought to you by the Meridian Experience Weekend 2022 Vault. If you weren't able to make it out to the Pacific Northwest this past June, I got you. You can now enjoy all four of our keynote panels right at home. For a limited time, so now through August 18th, you can purchase access to all four conversations, including the attendee Q&As that followed two of the four conversations. You can purchase access to the Vault for a single investment of $200, unlocking conversations that'll rock you in the best possible way. You can binge them in one setting or spread them out like we did in real time. You can even dress up if you really just want to feel like you were there. In these conversations, you will find out exactly how Emily and her team handle pricing brand partnerships, what Shavonda, Mandy, and DeVito all recommend investing in to improve your content, the turning point for David's design career, and what brought Emily, Orlando, and Carmion all to tears in our final day. If you want to enhance your viewing experience, you can also get the digital version of the Meridian Experience 2022 workbook. Adapted from the original print workbook, this 44-page download encourages you to take a holistic look at your business by exploring the balance between being a design professional and an influencer, quantifying your financial goals, and critically analyzing the status of your business. In short, it's an accountability resource, and it's the perfect pairing to the 4 hours of intimate conversations that you can access in our vault, all to help you really start thinking about the trajectory of your business. Head over to meweekend.com/me2022 to get a piece of the Meridian to call all your own today. Now let's get back to the show. I've talked a lot already about the platforms. However, diversification also includes your verticals. And simply stated, verticals equal niches, whatever. It's a commonly used term in marketing and just in different industries. As a content creator, examples of verticals include home, fitness, technology, food, fashion, beauty, parenthood. I think you get the point. If you're here, you're likely in the home vertical. And to this, I want to also add that your verticals can be aligned with your channels and with that, the purpose they serve. So in that same opening panel from the Meridian Experience Weekend with Emily's team, Caitlin noted that figuring out the value of each of your channels, so where's brand awareness, where's your audience converting? This is important to position yourself in front of brands. The same can be said for your audience. We have all seen the rapid growth of the lifestyle influencer. They dabble in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. In the home space, however, I see so many creators just follow the narrative, well, people only know me, and they don't allow themselves to expand beyond what they're quote unquote known for or to integrate other verticals into their content strategy. In the affiliate marketing workshop led by moi, I had challenged everyone who was in attendance to bring their audience into the rest of their lives and to monetize the entire breadth of their influence, starting with them just sharing their fashions from that weekend. Since that weekend, it has been so much fun for me to watch creators share their fashions, travels, families, recipes, all the things, all seamlessly alongside their home content. Now, I want you to imagine if the creators that we all admire, so the ones who've been doing this for 10 plus years, imagine if they only shared home content. I want you to take a second and really think about that. Would they have built the empires that they currently have? When I talk about the Meridian archetype, and in case you're wondering who that is, what that is, I talk about that in episode 2, season 3. What they all have in common is that they have opened themselves up to be lifestyle creators with a central focus on home. Like, don't get me wrong. However, they're not exclusively home creators. In the final keynote panel of that weekend, which I gotta say was truly the best possible way to have ended the Meridian Experience Weekend, Kanisha hosted a really great conversation with Emily, Orlando, and Carmian. And in it, they discussed how they are able to show up as their whole selves on their blogs and their social channels. They all shared basically the same sentiment. They don't know how they could have possibly done it any other way because they would be doing themselves and their audiences a disservice. As Carmian put it, you get what you get because you walked into my living room today. Her living room being, you know, her social media. Like, you're walking into her life. So many of us who are looking to achieve the same type of longevity and success, why are we limiting ourselves? Or better put, Orlando said it best, who's asking you not to do this? And are these the people you want to be speaking to? Even though I have done my best to avoid the trappings of IG, the Instagram effect, especially creatively, it's also gotten the best of me on more than one occasion. To that end, if you follow me on Albinos, then you know I have been actively avoiding reels on my feed. I've done this not just to retrain my feed, but to also allow myself a creative respite. How much more creative could we all be if we weren't chasing trending audio and shortcuts to virality and just amassing followers like cattle? Hundreds of thousands of followers, and where are we leading them? In preparation for this episode, I actually went to the pages of a bunch of creatives I know that have recently gone viral across industries. And y'all, only a small percentage of them have engagement that parallels their growth. So what do I mean by that? And again, this wasn't some like super deep dive, and obviously I can't see their back end. However, I'm talking about people who have, you know, 5x, 10x their following, and yet their likes and comments are completely the same, right? And I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like. So not judging, not calling anyone out. However, you know, what did that instant growth, that sudden growth accomplish? Like I said earlier in the episode, popular doesn't equal paid. There is a reason that spending with nano influencers, so the smaller size influencer, is projected to rise 220.5%. Okay? While the spending for mega influencers is only projected to rise 8%. And in case you want to see more of the data that went into this research, it'll be linked in the show notes, the entire article. So I say that to say a high following does not always translate to high engagement or conversion. And again, I can attest that there are many benefits to having a large following. I can also say that you don't need fame to have fortune. Food for thought. It's said that we should find the places where we thrive and continue to build there. However, there is a very fine line between building and being complacent. Whether it's on Instagram or any other platform, because it's called the Instagram effect, not just because, you know, it only happens on Instagram. That's not why I named it that. However, it can lull us into this false sense of security. I know it's definitely been the case for me, really more like a fever dream. And it wasn't until one day I looked around with very little to show for it in return. And that's when I had a light bulb moment. I wasn't doing anyone any favors, not myself, not my audience, by keeping my content homogenous. I asked myself, and I did this years ago, and then I ended up having to do it again a couple of months ago. If I wasn't me, would I follow me? The answer was no. It was no then, and it's no now. At some point, our audiences will grow tired of seeing the same rinse and repeat strategy, because what it says is you don't value their follow, you don't value their time, you don't value their attention. Look at how quickly, as an example, the trend of daily vlogs rose to popularity and then faded away. Okay? And in case you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about like YouTube vlogs. I'm talking about those reels where it was like the daily vlog and like snapshots of, you know, your day. It was all the rage and then poof, gone. Ask yourself, how many About Me reels your existing community will sit through before they find themselves bored with the repetition? And in case you don't know what I'm talking about with that, the reels where you're introducing yourself to your new audience, right? Like, how many of those are you expecting your existing audience to sit through before they are just disinterested in you altogether? During the panel that we hosted on longevity and design and content creation, so the panel with Shavonda Gardner, Mandy Gubler, DeBito, and it was moderated by Alvin Wayne, Shavonda shared valuable insight into how she's continued to prioritize her community in spite of the ever-changing landscape.
Number one for me is connecting with my community. And I have always put a lot of priority on the people who are already in my community and not necessarily for people who don't know me yet. Like, I don't create my content or put out things for the attention of others. I create the content that I create and engage with my community because they're already there. And those are the people that I focus a lot of my energy and time on. And if you happen to be someone who sees it and enjoys it and wants to be part of the family, hey, welcome. Here are the rules, because, you know, boundaries. Boundaries. Here are the rules. We have a great time here. But I'm never like seeking more and more and more and more people. Like that is not what my ministry is.
When we think of it this way and prioritize the original intent of social media, to connect, to socialize, and we remain set on this path, it's actually really easy to see how multi-platform distribution is a win-win for everyone. One, you're exercising your dormant creative muscles in a return to experimental and authentic storytelling. Two, you are exciting your existing community by sharing with them other platforms they might like. Three, you're organically reaching new audiences and expanding your reach beyond your current ecosystem. And four, you are increasing your earning potential, or at the very least, adding to an existing revenue stream. During the Meridian Experience weekend, our IG was flooded, like completely slammed with DMs and tags, all of them saying that they wish they knew about the event or they don't know how they missed it on their timelines. And it really got me thinking. When creators spend more time creating content to attract instead of creating content to engage, the algorithm notices. Yeah, you'll get a ton of new follows. However, what happens to the people who are already there if you're not connecting with them and they're not engaging with you? The reason so many people were now suddenly aware of the event is because nearly 100 creators were simultaneously sharing and tagging, very much like what we saw happen when I did the Share the Mic Now Home Edition initiative 2 years ago. It's like the algorithms, because yes, there's more than one, it's like they were hit with a defibrillator, and that shock to the system caused accounts that were buried really down deep to rise to the surface. Our audiences, they felt the shift, they saw the shift, and they were all better for it. So imagine what would happen if we were consistently doing this, consistently creating original content, and consistently and organically sharing share-worthy content. Just food for thought. I have shared a lot this episode, mainly because, like I said, it's been sitting with me since the spring, and I just didn't have time to share it. However, I said all of this, and I shared all of this, not without purpose, nor without, you know, having intent to move you to action. Now that you're hopefully thinking about diversifying your content verticals and your social media platforms, really just your social platforms, your entire web presence, I want to leave you with 5 thought starters as to what your next steps could be, right? So we've talked, we've educated. Now let's get into some action. Number one, take inventory of all of the platforms you use for your content, like the ones you actually use. Not, you know, just because you signed up don't mean you use it. Why do you use them over others? Do you enjoy using them? How have they enhanced and or supported your business? In doing this analysis, I want you to really consider whether or not they are an asset or a distraction. I can't answer that for you. I just ask that you be extremely honest with yourself about the evaluation. So in my case, for example, I have a Twitter account and it does absolutely nothing for me as a creator. Maybe it could, I don't know. However, I don't even like it there. The same goes for Facebook. So I don't spend time on them. Number two, think about the audience you want to reach. Where do you want to take them? And where are they already hanging out? Different platforms are going to serve you in different ways. Education, community, sales, discovery, growth, etc. A common creator mistake is not going where their target audience is and instead going to where the popularity is. Stop doing that, okay? Just stop. So, for example, I have never had any desire to join Snapchat or TikTok because as far as I can tell, the audience that I want to talk to, that's not where they are. For me, they would only serve for discovery or growth. And those are just not things that I am prioritizing in this season. Number three, assess your current content mediums. So video, audio, photo, etc. And ask yourself which ones excite you, inspire you, and exhaust you. Do not take on anything that is only going to serve to stress you out, or worse, flame you out. Just as each platform can serve a particular purpose, each platform also has certain mediums that it disseminates best. So, video inspires me, okay? However, right now, creating it also exhausts me. And that's why, as much as I would love to improve my video skills and my video presence, it's just not something I can do right now. And with that, it's why I don't prioritize my YouTube channel. Audio excites me. Writing excites me. And this is why we're here on the podcast. This is why I blog. Number four, examine your analytics and all of your numbers. All of them. Are you, right now, getting a sufficient ROI for all of your efforts? And this exercise is more than just your followers and your subscribers and your likes. Those are pretty much vanity metrics. They're important, however, you know, vanity metrics. There are so many other valuable KPIs, key performance indicators, that go overlooked because they're not on the surface. So the KPIs I want you to be looking at, in addition to, you know, your followers and subscribers and your likes, sure, yes. I want you also looking at the clicks on your shared links, how much you're earning from your affiliate marketing links, your organic comments, your community messages, your email open rates, your video watch time, your blog post bounce rates. There are so many other numbers of value that will really help you determine if what you're putting in is worth what you're getting out. So, in case you didn't know, every single platform has its own back-end reporting. Personally, I prioritize looking at the ones to see where I have opportunities, where I can improve, and the ones where I have the greatest success, so my strengths. When I look at the opportunities, that's the type of content that challenges me to be better. And the ones where I'm already killing it anyway, those are the ones that becomes the content that is recurring, very low lift content. Number five, study other industries and the creators in those industries. Because I want you to ask yourself if your creative limitations are a result of you staying inside of this bubble of creatives that's all doing the same thing. So often it's hard for us to see things objectively because our sight is clouded by noise in our echo chamber. As creators, we are constantly telling our audience that they need to diversify their following so that they can diversify their experience. You guys, the same goes for us. In recent months, as a content consumer, I have found myself less and less interested in home creators. And instead, I'm following more creators in fashion, in beauty, education, tech, and lifestyle arenas. Some of them I follow to learn from, others I follow for inspiration, and some is just purely entertainment. No matter the reason, though, I was attracted to their accounts. I'm going to take away something as a consumer and also as a creator. And that's something that I can later use to help improve my own content. I don't present this episode as any sort of expert in growth strategy. No, that's not your girl. And I'm not a social media savant. I am, however, someone who is both a creator and a consumer. And after many, many years of trial and error, I'm someone who's also still learning. And I embrace the continued education. I speak only to what I observe on my own timelines, as well as the conversations that I'm having with peers. Our consumers now, they are way savvier. And the brands we want to work with, their budgets are so much bigger. Translation, the stakes are higher. So consider this your permission slip to untether yourself from the Instagram effect. Slow down. Take a step back. And maybe let's just allow ourselves to create like creators do. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today. I know it was a long one. I told you it was going to be a long one. However, I hope you guys really enjoyed the conversation. I really hope it gave you something to think about when you're looking at the content you're creating, the places you're hanging out, and also even just the content you're consuming, because we aren't just creators, we're consumers. We are more than, you know, our business entities. Again, if you have not already subscribed to the show, I hope you do so and leave a rating and a review, especially if you enjoyed it. Duh. And if you have thoughts on what we talked about today, come hang out with me over on Albie Knows. I would love to know what your feelings were on the Instagram effect. Again, thank you for hanging out with me, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.